A. For archaeologist. Which of the dictionary people should start this book, I wondered, and be given the honour of representing the letter A? There are many Americans I could and will tell you about, some autodidacts and quite a number of activists. However, for me, archaeologist Margaret Alice Murray deserves to be at the beginning, not least because recognition for her came late in life. Despite being one of the most famous archaeologists of her day, she had to wait until the age of 61 to be made in 1924 an assistant professor at University College London. Margaret was indefatigable. She embarked on a lecture tour to Norway, Sweden and Finland, aged 72, and on reaching her century, she optimistically titled her memoir, My First 100 Years. The story of her involvement with the dictionary begins when she was just 18 years old, shortly after Dr. James Murray, no relation, made his general appeal to English speakers around the world in 1879, asking them to read their local books and send him words and quotations on small slips of 4x6-inch paper. National and international newspapers picked up Murray's appeal and advertised the project in their pages. It is likely that this is how Margaret heard about the OED and its call for contributors. Her family, then living in Calcutta, now Kolkata, regularly read the weekly edition of the Times newspaper, distributed throughout the Anglo-Indian community, which carried Murray's advertisements. Margaret's mother was an English missionary. Her wealthy father, of British descent, born in India, was managing partner of a firm of Manchester paper merchants. The family lived in a grand white stone and stucco house at 8 Elysium Row in the Anglo-Indian quarter of Calcutta, not far from the Anglican Cathedral. The houses here were neoclassical in design, with floors of polished chunam, high ceilings, ornate cornices and marble pillars. In fact, none of the large homes on Elysium Row would have looked out of place on London's Pall Mall, were it not for the Anglo-Indian addition of Jill Mills, wooden louvres, and plaited grass screens that hung between the columns of the verandas to provide a cool flow of air. But even these grand spaces could not escape the heat, sounds, and smells of the city, situated as it was on the Tropic of Cancer, along swampland and salt marshes. There were, and still are, few places on earth hotter and more humid. Margaret had a routine of getting up at sunrise and taking a book to the balustraded flat roof to read alone in the cool early morning air. As she read, the smells of the dawning day would drift up to her, incense from the Hindu house servants performing their first devotions, and the pungent odour of spicy jalmuri, Bengali street food. She underlined words in her books to the background noise of the kitchen staff preparing breakfast, the slap of laundry on stone, and the far-off clatter of the street traders, astrologers and chaiwalas, tea sellers, setting up their stalls. And then, as the day got hotter and stickier, she made her way downstairs to write out her selected words and quotations on slips of paper at a desk on the shaded veranda. At night, she would continue the work in her bedroom in the company of her cat, Dapple, working by the soft, smokeless light of a small pottery lamp half filled with water and castor oil.